if you in them streets.
We coming for you.
And life got you beat.
We coming for you.
The dope boy in the trap.
We coming for you.
These youth getting laid flat.
We coming for you.
The prostitutes and the hopeless.
We coming for you.
We trying to show you what hope is.
We coming for you.
Lost souls can be changed.
We coming for you.
Cause Jesus Christ came to save.
We coming for you.
From the love of Christ, it's love and sacrifice. Christ is saved.
When Joseph, brother, saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him." So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, "Before your father died, he commanded, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now, please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face. And they said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive.'"
Amen. Thanks, Frank. Welcome to Hope Radio 98.7. We're excited to be continuing this conversation, Christian and politics. And of course, we had the privilege of starting this session out with Rebecca Clayfish and Ken Nabby, Lieutenant Governor and Pastor of Converge Great Lakes. And so we're continuing this actually with the captive team that runs the Captive Project. Many of you are aware of that. And so we're going to do some introductions. But first, I want to talk about and bid a blessing farewell to a brother, T'Angelo Mosley, and his family.
Absolutely.
Our theme song is a compilation of the artists within the Captive Project, and he was part of the Captive Project when we first started, and so they've moved to, where'd they go, is Carolina? Arizona?
Arizona.
Yep, they moved to Arizona.
Tired of the cold weather.
And so we definitely wish him well on that. And so I want to go around the room and introduce our team. My first intro is probably to the most awesome and gorgeous person in all the Captive Project, in any ministry I know of, to be perfectly honest. She's incredibly wise, gorgeous, and hot. And so my wife, Aurelia Brown. Say welcome. Remember, this is radio, not TV.
Okay. Hello, everybody.
And then
Hold on. She didn't put on the radio voice?
Yeah. Yeah, because like she actually worked for WNOV for a little bit. So she was like, love songs. No. And then we have Terry Winters or Law or Rec. And if y'all get a chance, go on the website and look at his testimony. The only brother that faced down the train and won. So kind of won. So this ain't TV. It's so funny how everybody act like they all shy and stuff.
Right, right. We just was talking good.
Right.
In the pre-production.
Right. And we're joined by his lovely wife, Sabrina Winters. They're newlyweds.
Yeah.
So they all cuddled up and cute looking and stuff. So hi, Sabrina. Yeah, he'll turn the volume up on that one. And then Lavoris AG, our prayer warrior.
Yeah.
Been with the Captive Project since we started. So welcome, Lavoris.
Hello, everyone.
And then we have 44 Magnum.
Yeah.
The Mags. We call her 44 because she can give the gospel powerfully in English and Spanish.
So, you know, that's, I keep doing that. You know, my niece, you know.
So welcome, welcome, Maggie.
Yeah.
Hola.
Yeah. That's it.
And then everybody know Frank.
Free VZ with you. Yeah.
Then we have Dan Quakelar, Quakelar, the Dutchman. Pastor DQ.
Hey, everybody.
That's it.
From Pastor Friends of Sinners, a new church plant in Milwaukee. Where do you guys meet, Dan?
We're at Carver Academy down on 1900 North. What street is it? First Street.
Might want to know that so you can
right
place on
it's
Sunday.
It's on the literature, I'm sure of it.
The church has a great name, Friend of Sinners. That's pretty awesome name.
Name of Jesus.
And then we're in a Robert Honey Boy, the third Honey Boy.
In his name, man.
Yeah.
Wow. In his name.
Yeah.
And then Kurt, Eutychus. And I'm going to tell y'all why we call him Eutychus.
Yeah.
You know, because every time we have a meeting, every time we have a Bible study, he just falls asleep. Wake up, Kurt. And yeah, that's the one that fell out the window Bible.
Yeah.
So when you hear Eutychus, you know the story.
Yeah.
So welcome, Eutychus.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody.
The man of men. Yeah. The man behind the man that's behind the man.
That's it.
That made the legend.
The myth.
Macedonia.
Our man.
Our engineer.
Yeah.
And so we're going to continue our discussion, Christians and politics. And what I want to do, I'm gonna go around the room real quick, and I want you to give me in like 1 to 3 words your opinion about Christians getting involved in top politics. And we'll start with Maggie. This is radio, just so you know. What are your thoughts? Just 3 words. Don't do it. Divorce.
Divorce.
You got to talk into my.
He's equipped up.
Okay.
I would say, personal experience that probably should know a lot more about what's going on in the country. I haven't talked on this thing. You might as well get ready.
Yep, I agree. We should be informed.
This is Eutychus. We warned y'all about him.
He's just waking up.
Yeah.
We should be ready for it, he said.
Right. Yeah, I would say get educated and get involved.
Better be biblical.
Okay. All right. Thank you for those 3 words or less. But you know what? What I'm hearing, what I do hear a lot when I ask that question is education. Because, you know, with a lot of issues as far as the media is concerned, it can be very disparaging. You know, one of the terms that I heard in one of the prior discussion is how the majority of people and we're talking about the body of Christ, because that's who we're motivating, you know, with these topics that we talk about. But it talked about remember that discussion with somebody, they said that the majority of people don't have time to really inform themselves on every single candidate out there. I mean, if you want to make an informed vote or be involved properly, you'd have to virtually research almost every candidate. And we talked about before how a lot of times pastors help with that, you know, because they were talking about repealing the Johnson rule. And I don't know if y'all know what the Johnson rule is, but what it is it's a law that was put out there where nonprofits or churches can't directly endorse a candidate. And now, for as funny as, like, I've been born and raised in an urban community, and I've seen churches, like, endorse candidates all the time. But they can't come out and say we're for Trump or we're for Hillary. And so a lot of people were like, you know, why not, you know? And so in the prior discussion, we talked about how what type of effect that would have as far as the church is concerned. What are y'all thoughts on the impact if churches were all of a sudden able to endorse a particular candidate? Do you think there would be more division or less division?
I think there'd probably be more. I mean, I think as a pastor, what I want to do is talk about issues from a biblical perspective. And if I'm focused on that issue, then, I mean, candidates are going to have all kinds of different positions on issues, and I want to know what – I want to be able to evaluate those candidates in the light of the positions that they're taking and how they relate to Scripture.
Okay. Anybody else? What are your thoughts, Frank? You think there'll be more division or less?
Yeah, I think so. I think it'll probably be more division because of just the different places where people are in life. You got some people that are more educated, others that are coming out of a background with less education, you know. And so from that alone, you're going to see a difference, right? Because you got some candidates that are quote unquote for the poor, while others are for, you know, the middle class or the higher, you know, the higher class. So.
And I would say in addition to that, people would feel, like we were saying going around the table, that we want to be educated. I think people feel, coming from their pastor, that they feel more educated, or they have more of a reason to believe it, but it would be more sophomoric if you get information from a pastor that really is not sure or don't know much more than you. So
right,
that could be more division.
Right, and I think some other parishioners would feel obligated to vote the same way that their pastor, you know, or endorse the candidate that their pastor is endorsing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought as well. I thought that if you have a pastor and the loyalty to your pastor, that you're going to vote, you know, instead of getting educated, you're going to vote just based on their recommendation, which, again, it's already happening because, like you said, Dan, when you talk about issues, you know, a lot of them preach toward the issues of any particular candidate, and it's like, you know, they side with this issue or that issue, so they'll make that decision. What are you thinking, Terry?
I was going to say it would bring more division because the spoken word is powerful from the radio, from the television, but especially from the pulpit. So anytime, and you might not even really be into it, but anytime your pastor says something, you're going to really take, pastor knows what he's talking about, even if he may not know what he's talking about. So I think it's a very strong influence from the pulpit, and I think that's one of the reasons why that needs to be careful. We need to be careful with it. I think it would be better if we informed people about the candidates, but not necessarily persuaded them to make a decision.
And as we said, tongue in cheek, prior to the radio segment earlier, you know, we were tongue in cheeking it, but just saying that we don't want a pastor or influence, especially on a electoral candidate, to take it as gospel. And normally most parishioners would take it as gospel because it's coming from the pulpit. So I agree with you, Terry. I agree with you on that.
So, okay, then what about the first of all, do you guys think that getting involved, that Christians should get involved in politics? Let's go right to the question. Should Christians get involved with politics? I think Sabrina wants to say something because she's itching over there.
I think it's your right. It is your right to be involved in the decision. That's like you taking you're choosing a government, right? And you, as an individual, I feel that you have the, don't ever stay out and tell yourself that, you know, whatever happened, right?
Right.
You have to be involved. That's a decision that you, that's your right. So that's
and,
it.
And I think you make a good point, because if you don't get involved, you're telling, you're saying, I don't care who makes the decisions for my life. For my life. And the majority of the United States, the foundational majority of the United States is religious. Is religious. And if you look at the commonality of that, all that the religions, there's a moral commonality that's there. And so if you're telling parishioners, I mean, you do have pastors that are telling parishioners don't vote. They're telling them don't vote because that's the world thing. But at what point did we advocate the responsibility of the moral compass of the world, or excuse me, the world, of the country, to people that don't have a conviction when it comes to the Lord? And now, don't get me wrong. Let me qualify this for a minute. In the Democrat side, you have people that vote Democrat primarily because Democrats are known for taking care of the poor, okay? You have people that vote Republican because Republicans are known for giving people opportunities to come out of poverty. Now, all that other stuff that we debate about and argue about, where people make a decision based on whatever, okay, that's fine. But there are Christians on both sides of this issue of the politics. And for me to sit up here and say you're not Christian because you're voting Democrat, or you're not Christian because you're voting Republican, is asinine. It absolutely is asinine. Because if unless Jesus Christ comes and sets up at Mount Olive like he plans to in the future, there is not going to be the perfect candidate, you know, plain and simple. And so, and I guess I kind of sold my hand, but but y'all ain't had a problem with disagreeing with me in the past anyway. But do y'all think that Christians should get involved in politics? Plain and simple.
Even something you just said about picking a candidate, I believe the more influence the Christians have, then that would reflect on the type of candidates that we would get.
Okay.
Yeah.
I agree.
Right, I agree that when the Bible talks about us being salt and light, that's a good way for us to be that. To live that out.
Yeah, I agree. And it's, I would just say, even out of my ignorance of the past, I'm usually one of those ones, and I have scripture to back it up. I'm like, back in the Old Testament day, God said he'll be our king. So, man, I ain't voting for Saul. I ain't voting for neither one. But I think the truth is that's also out of fear. You need, like Sabrina was saying, it's a right to exercise. And some people God has gifted to be in the legislative office that are in the body of Christ. And some are not. And I think it is a thing of, you just have to get yourself educated. It's something you have to bite, kick, and scratch at to get educated. And as Christians, we know that, and we were just saying this earlier again, tongue in cheek. There's not one party to say if you're a Democrat, you're not Christian, or if you're a Republican, you're not Christian. We have to ask God for guidance. Who do we vote for? And know that in spite of who we vote for, God is the final authoritative one over our lives.
And that brings up a point, because when I had the conversation with Rebecca and Ken, I asked Rebecca directly, does she see her political career as a ministry or as a job? And as you guys heard, you know, from the session, she is totally, it's about ministry for her, serving people. Because the very nature of politics is actually serving the community and things like that. But Ken says something, and if you guys remember, he says something very interesting, and I want to get your opinion on this. He said that God has ordained three entities on the face of the earth: the family, the church, and government. And each of them has a God-given responsibility on this earth. Government primarily is supposed to protect the family and the church so that they can do the will of God. And he said what's happening today, if you guys will recall, is that each aspect is trying to dominate the other instead of work together. What are y'all thoughts on that one?
You know, I was just thinking, you know, that this whole thing about politics and just looking at Romans 13 and even though we get into this thing of choosing who will be our next leader, in Romans 13 it says that whoever's appointed has been appointed by God. And so I guess the bottom line is trusting who God puts in office. You know, and I love all the other pieces that we said too, like a Christian who's running for office, who's able to influence, or those individuals who are voting, putting their faith or their vote in an individual that has the same worldview, right? I agree with all that, but I'm looking at Romans and it's clearly stating that whoever's in authority, just like you just mentioned in the governing bodies, who's ever in authority, just know that no authority that's in authority has been put there by God. It says, as a matter of fact, it says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So God has chosen. So whether we vote the right person in or not, whoever takes the office, God put them there.
Yeah, and that.
Yeah, they will, but then that's their prerogative. Right.
But and it also is a violation because
it's their
of
right to vote right. or not vote.
Right, because Dan, like you were about to say, that still doesn't mean that God doesn't hold you responsible for not doing what you're supposed to do. Because in His sovereignty, as Frank talked about, because that passage alludes to God's sovereignty, because and God gave us a classic example in the Old Testament, Nebuchadnezzar. Ideally, the children of Israel, if they hadn't rebelled, they would still be under judge and then ultimately King David and so on and so forth. In God's sovereignty, He told them to go under Nebuchadnezzar. Now, what's interesting about that, Nebuchadnezzar was a pagan.
Mm-hmm.
Nebuchadnezzar was worshiping all different types of gods. And it was interesting because if you remember the story, after God had did all this, you know, with him and expanded the kingdom, and he was doing it for the sake of His people, you know, because they had rebelled, but he was going to take care of them through Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar goes out on the balcony and says, what? Look what I have accomplished. And God was like, really? And so he drove him mad for like 7 years. They're talking about the claws and the hair. I mean, he was with the beast. And when he came to his senses, what did he say? He raised his hand to the only true God, indicating that he sold out to the one true God. And so we don't know whether if it was Hillary or whether it was Trump or whether it was Bernie. We don't know what the end result of their life was going to be, but we do know this. God is in complete and 100% control. And what does the proverb say or the psalm say, that God controls the king like he controls the rivers. And so one of the points that I wanted to make, because I got, you know, here in my notes, four reasons why Christians should care about politics. And one of the aspects is that because Christians' worldview speaks to all areas of life. Y'all think that's true? All areas of life. The Christian worldview speaks to all areas of life. Second is politics is unavoidable. I mean, anybody got politics in their church that
yeah.
they're dealing with?
Oh, yeah.
Not me. Our church is perfect. Right. Okay. Yeah.
Can you say amen? Say ouch.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Three, we need to love our neighbor. I love during the campaign, and this is not endorsing any particular candidate, but as I was studying the candidates, you know, who I was talking about voting for, okay. And so Marco Rubio, and this will be a good segue into our next discussion. Marco Rubio, somebody asked him, why should I vote for you? How are you going to be my president when you're a Christian And a lot of people are saying you're going to be like a pastor president or something like that. But I'm not a Christian, and we don't see eye to eye. So how am I going to be? How are you going to be my president? He said, and I love the way he said this. He said that if anything, you should want me to be your president, because as a Christian, I'm supposed to look out for the downtrodden. I'm supposed to look out for people that don't agree with me. I'm supposed to love you anyway, regardless of whether or not you believe with me or not. I'm supposed to look out for your rights. The Bible tells me I'm supposed to look out for the wanderer. It didn't say look out for the Christian wanderer only. I'm supposed to look out for the wanderer. And so what's awesome about his approach when he said that, I'm like, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. What's a shame, and we're going to talk about it in a minute in our next session. Why is it that this time of year comes around, the politics comes around, and we're only known by what we hate instead of what we love as Christians? Hope Radio, 98.7.
Yeah.
Hope Radio 98.7.
Thanks for tuning in to the Captive Project Radio Discipleship Time every Friday, 7 to 7:30 p.m. on your FM dial. You can also like us on Facebook at Hope Radio, or you can check out our live streams on Discipleship Radio.
Or check out the website, www.thecaptiveproject.com. Or hit us with an email, thecaptiveproject@gmail.com. Or drop us a line at 414-771-6000.
In his name, man.